Hello and welcome to Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. I am Albert Haim and this is WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website. In the Bix is Alive program, I will play recordings and talk about the music and the life of Bix Beiderbecke. I will also play recordings by other musicians, past and present, who play in a style influenced and or reminiscent of Bix's unique approach to music. In the programs, I will feature various segments. In some instances, I will have a battle of the bands. On other occasions, I will focus on one particular musician or a theme as the centerpiece of the program. At other times, I will simply play recordings that I enjoy. The centerpiece of today's program is Fud Livingston. Program 111 was already devoted to Fud Livingston, but at the time I mentioned that I have several records that include Fud Livingston as one of the musicians in the bands, and that I had enough material for two or three programs, so I thought it would be appropriate today to devote this program again to Fud Livingston and play some of the recordings that I didn't play in the first installment. Let me read from Richard Sodhalter's Lost Chords what he tells us about Fud Livingston. He says, "Much credit for that goes to rhythm and composer arranger Joseph Fud Livingston, who first attracted attention in the mid-20s as a tenor saxophonist in the light tone style popularized by Jack Pettis. Born Joseph Anthony Livingston on April 10, 1906, he and his elder brother Walter learned both piano and reeds in their native Charleston, South Carolina. They seem to have moved around quite a bit in the early 1920s. Walter achieved celebrity among musicians in 1924 for a nimble break on Somebody Stole My Gal, recorded by the Ted Wims Orchestra on its first Victor date. Fud played briefly with Ben Pollack in California in mid-1925, briefly with the California Ramblers later that year, briefly with Jim Golcat in Detroit in 1926, then rejoined Pollack when the drummer's new band moved to Chicago. It was a good time to be there. The city, especially the South Side, was full of hot music. A new generation of white musicians had emerged and were making their presence felt in bands all over town. Livingston quickly got to know Muggsy Spanier, Jimmy McPartland, Jess Stacy, Bud Freeman, Joe Sullivan, Dave Tough, Gene Krupa, Mez Mezro, and perhaps most important of all, clarinetist Frank Teschmacher. It's hard to know what Fud sounded like on clarinet before he met Tesch. He never soloed on it with Pollack, at least on records, the distinction being the exclusive province of 16-year-old Benny Goodman. But innumerable records of his work on the instrument after that time display the hard attack, brittle tone, and angular figure shapes characteristic of Tesch and his admirers. Trombonist Al Filburn, who knew Livingston well, insisted that rather than having learned from the Chicagoans, Fud deeply affected them. He was playing like Benny and Tesch when those two were still in short pants, he told Michael Brooks in 1970. Only the booze got to him and he never developed. I can remember seeing him in a recording studio trying to play sounds that he was hearing, jumping up and down, flapping his arms and screaming with rage because he couldn't transpose from his brain to his instrument. So he hit the bottle to doll out all that beauty he couldn't share, and Christ, how he drank. I've never seen anyone drink as much as Fudd and survive for so long. Sometime in the early months of 1927, Livingston gave Pollack his notice and set out for New York. He seems to have fallen into regular work almost immediately, and by August was recording and drinking regularly with Nichols, Moll, Rollini and their crowd. His arrival coincided almost exactly with that of Pee Wee Russell, whose clarinet style, formulated far from Chicago, displayed many of the same surface features as Fudd's own. But Livingston's chief impact on this circle of musicians and on the music in a more generalized sense lies in his skills as an arranger and composer. Okay, well, maybe I'll read some more. There is a lot of good stuff here in this section of Lost Chords. It's under chapter entitled Red Nichols and His Circle. But let me get going with the music. We'll start with 1925, when Fudd was with the California Ramblers, and the two sides that I want to play are 5'2", Eyes of Blue, and Clap Hands, Here Comes Charlie. Now, the composition of the California Ramblers at that point was Arthur Hand, violin and director, Frank Cush and Roy Johnston on trombone, George Troop on trombone, Bobby Davis on clarinet, soprano sax, alto sax, Ed Stannard on alto sax, Fudd Livingston on clarinet or tenor sax, Adrian Rollini on bass sax, Irving Brodsky on piano, Tommy Fellini banjo, Stan King drums. And there are vocals on both of these recordings, and the vocalists are Arthur Hall and John Ryan. So let's listen then to Fudd Livingston with the California Ramblers in 1925.
Thank you. fire from the wide and open spaces. Clap hands, here comes Charlie. Good time, Charlie. Clap hands, here comes Charlie now.
It was typical early California Ramblers, peppy, and very good for dancing. All right, let's move now to 1928. This is a recording by the Mississippi Maulers, M-A-U-L-E-R-S, and the musicians there are Leo McConville and Bill Moore on trumpet, Tommy Dorsey on trombone, Dudley Fosdick on mellophone, Fod Livingston on clarinet and tenor sax, Joe Benuti violin, Frank Signorelli piano, Eddie Lang guitar, Joe Tardo brass bass, Stan King on drums, and both selections have a vocal by Roy Evans. They were recording on July 20, 1928, first My Angel Line and then Don't Mess Around With Me. So let's listen then to Fod Livingston with the Mississippi Maulers in 1928.
Thank you. fooled around with that one, but don't mess around with me. I know you're known as a heartbreaking type, but I've got a mean laugh, a swing a wicked rat. Don't you dare to cover any heavy love, cause it might get back on your seat. Take your time, don't work too fast, cause the one ain't leaving that did last. Loving you get, don't you forget, don't you mess around with me. Ain't healthy, don't mess around with me. Oh, lady, oh, lady, oh, lady, don't mess around with me. I know you're known as a heartbreaking type. Oh, lady, oh, lady, oh, oh, it might come back on you, see. Take your time, don't work too fast. Oh, one ain't living that did it last. Oh, lady, don't you mess around with me. Ain't healthy, don't mess around with me.
Undoubtedly, Bill Moore, who I believe takes the solos in the last two recordings, was very much under the influence of Bix. He had been with the Charleston, with the California Ramblers. Okay, let's continue with the music. Now I want to bring in two recordings which I played in the previous program on Fort Livingston, but these are so important that I thought I would play them again. There are two compositions by Fort Livingston, Imagination and Feeling No Pain, recorded on September 8, 1927 in New York by the Charleston Chasers, and the Charleston Chasers in this edition are Red Nichols on trumpet, Leo McConville on trumpet, Miff Moll on trombone, Pee Wee Russell and Fort Livingston on clarinet and tenor sax, Lenny Hayton on piano, Carl Kress on guitar, Jack Hansen on brass bass, Vic Burton on drums. Let me read now again from Lost Chords. Imagination represents a set of preoccupations more commonly found in the branch of popular instrumental music now widely and judgmentally identified as novelty music. The piano compositions of Rube Bloom and Zess Comfrey, for example, regularly address such matters of structure and thematic development. Such vignettes as Arthur Schott's Piano Puzzle and William Robinson's Eight Ball work some of the same soil. Bix Beiderbecke's four piano compositions, published as a suite by Robbins in 1928, also lie within the concept. The common thread is an obvious fascination with European music, particularly the melodic and harmonic conventions of the French Impressionists. Use of sequential augmented chords and the whole tone scales out of which they are formed. Reliance on the chord of the minor ninth as part of the basic vocabulary. Regular employment of 11ths and 13ths as melodic color tone. So, let's listen then to Fort Livingston with the Charleston Chasers in 1927, two compositions by Fort Livingston. Thank you. These are very modernistic compositions. I agree with Richard Stallholder that there is a judgment involved when these are considered or viewed as novelty compositions. They are very advanced compositions for the time. Okay, let's go back now to 1928. This is November 26, 1928, and two recordings by Miff Maul and his Maulers. First, You're the Cream of My Coffee, and then Wild Oat Joe. The Maulers in this recording are Phil Napoleon and Manny Klein on trumpet, Miff Maul on trombone, Fort Livingston on clarinet and tenor sax, Arthur Schott on piano, Joe Tardo on brass bass, and Stan King on drums. Since Fod is the only reed player here, every note played by a reed is from Fod Livingston. So here is then Fod Livingston with Miff Maul and his Little Maulers in 1928.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to turn to Irving Mills and his Totsie Gang. These are recordings from July 27, 1928. First doing the New Lowdown as the non-vocal version, and then Digga Digga Doo. I think it's the vocal version with Elizabeth Welch and chorus. The musicians in this recording are, depending on who you read, if you go to Eddie Lang's discography by Raymond Mitchell, then we have Jimmy McPartland on cornet, probably Bill Moore on trumpet, Dudley Fosdick on mellophone, Fud Livingston clarinet, alto sax, probably Gil Rodden and alto sax, Jack Pettis on C melody, Vic Brydis on piano and celeste, Eddie Lang on guitar, Harry Goodman on brass bass, Ben Pollack on drums. On the other hand, if you read Rost's jazz discography, this is the 2002 edition, then we have Jimmy McPartland on cornet, Fud Livingston on clarinet, tenor sax, Jack Pettis on C melody or tenor sax, Dudley Fosdick on mellotone, Vic Brydis piano and celeste, question mark, Perry Botkin banjo ukulele, Eddie Lang guitar, Harry Goodman brass bass, Ben Pollack on drums. Well, most of the musicians are the same in the two sources, but there is a difference about trumpet players and reed players there. Anyway, here is then Fud Livingston with Irving Mills and his Hotsie Totsie Gang, 1928. Thank you. Like to move to 1929, and I have two recordings by the Louisiana Rhythm Kings under the direction of Red Nichols. February 20, 1929, first Out Where the Blues Begin, and then That's a Plenty. Again, we have a bit of a problem with the discographical information. From the liners, or the booklet that comes with the CD Louisiana Rhythm Kings from Jazz Oracle, we have Red Nichols on cornet, Glenn Miller on trombone, Dudley Fosdick on mellophone, Fud Livingston clarinet, tenor sax, Arthur Schott on piano, and Vic Burton on drums. On the other hand, if we look at Rost's discography from 2002, instead of Glenn Miller, he gives Miff Maul. Now, we discussed the question as to when did Miff Maul stop recording with Red Nichols. We had a discussion in the forum, and I don't remember now what was discussed or the details of what was discussed. So I'll leave it open. Whatever, it's still Fud Livingston with the Louisiana Rhythm Kings in 1929.
Thank you.
I haven't played modern musicians at the end of the WBIX programs for quite a while, so I thought today I would bring Randy Sankey and Dick Hyman. They have a CD entitled Dick Hyman and Randy Sankey, Now and Again. The track that I want to play is entitled Thinking About Bix. And it's a composition by Dick Hyman. It's a duet, trumpet by Randy Sankey and piano by Dick Hyman. The year is 2005. It's interesting that both Randy Sankey and Dick Hyman were at the last year's Big Spiderbeck Jazz Festival in Davenport, and they will return this year in July. I would like to read, before I play the number, from the liners of their CD. It's an Arbor's CD, ARCD 19310. And it says, as written by Chip DeFa, as for Big Spiderbeck, Sankey notes he responded deeply to his music from the first time he heard recordings as a youth. He reflects, it's kind of a mystery of why you're drawn to something, why you fall in love. There's something supernatural about Bix. There is no reason somebody should have been on Earth playing like he did. It almost shouldn't be there, but there it is. All my life he's been a constant source of inspiration. He was a real genius, ahead of his time, in terms of music and career choice and socially. That's why I think he had so many problems in this world. Sankey was introduced to the music of Beiderbecke and Armstrong when he was just 9 or 10. His older brother, Jordan, began bringing home recordings. Curiously, Hyman also has his own older brother to thank for introducing him to hot jazz when he was a boy. I remember the first records my brother brought home. They were Singing the Blues, I'm Coming Virginia, Somebody Stole My Gal, and Rhythm King, Beiderbecke classics. Hyman and Sankey have both often played recreations of Beiderbecke's music in the past in concerts of their own, and also in Hyman's case, in collaboration with choreographer Twyla Tharp, but they are not doing that here. They pay homage to Beiderbecke with their own version of the little-known Slow River, which Beiderbecke recorded as a sideman with Gene Golcat in 1927, and with Thinking About Bix, an original that Hyman intended for the film Zelig, although only a fragment of the number was used in the film. The number alludes at times to both I'm Coming Virginia and In a Mist. So here are Dick Hyman and Randy Sankey playing Thinking About Bix in 2005. Thank you. Well, we have come to the end of today's program. I hope you enjoyed some of the recordings that Fud Livingston made in the 1920s with several different kinds of bands. I hope you can join me again in about 4 weeks when I will bring the next edition of WBIX program. I believe it's going to be number 100 and close to 140 anyway. Well, let's get back to Bix now. Have come to the end of today's edition of Bix is Alive, the radio program in cyberspace dedicated to the preservation and dissemination of the musical legacy of Bix Beiderbecke, the jazz genius from Davenport, Iowa. Please join me again in 4 weeks over WBIX, the virtual radio station on demand of the Bixography website, for a new edition of the program. Until next time, this is Albert Haim saying, through his music, Bix is alive.